Hello, friends and loyal listeners. This is Millicent Oriana, and I just wanted to let you all know I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdforensics. You can also find me at patreon.com/nerdforensics, as well as Twitter at camppodmillie, and of course, that's camp with a K. You can also find me at nerdforensics@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your support, and I hope to see you all in the future. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nerd Forensics. I'm Millicent Oriana. I just wanted to let you know that we are all broadcasting from Georgia at the site of the Olympic Stadium that will be built in 1996, because we can't afford to film in old Detroit anymore. And today I have my favorite guest in the world. I have the amazing...
Hello, everyone. I'm Jake Urban.
And I also have the wonderful...
Sophia Baca, host of the Breaking Math podcast, along with my other co-hosts. I mean, I'm also a co-host. I'm glad to be on.
And that's great, because we love having guests who love being on here, don't we? And today we're going to be talking about RoboCop. And of course, you're probably wondering, why are we talking about RoboCop? Well, we just watched the whole RoboCop trilogy because we decided we wanted to torture ourselves and compare all three of them. So we're going to compare one good movie and two movies that get worse progressively. So step right in, join us, and let's go over the saga of one Alex Murphy.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
I don't even want to ask you questions, Frank Miller. You sicken me.
All right, and for starters, of course, we get to start at the beginning, and that is with RoboCop. And that came out in 1987. It's directed by the wonderful Paul Verhoeven, who also directed Starship Troopers, Hollow Man, which, Showgirls, which, again. And for all of you out there that absolutely love violent 80s and early 90s cheese, the ultimate Total Recall. So, first we're going to discuss how everybody feels about the first movie. Jacob, how do you feel about the first RoboCop?
First one's great. One of those ultra-violent 80s classics.
Sophia?
I really liked it. I mean, I think it's kind of funny that at one part it's supposed to be this evil corporation, and it's like, we're delving into prisons, medicine, all the things that you would never consider private business.
Take a close look at the track record of this company, and you'll see that we have gambled in markets traditionally regarded as non-profit. Hospitals, prisons, space exploration. I say good business is where you find it.
It's like,
Yeah, nobody in the 21st century ever decided to open a private prison.
No, I mean, like, 13th Amendment, what? But, yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, you know, it's a great satire of Reagan-era politics, and on Nerd Forensics... we love satirizing Reagan-era politics.
Oh, it's also... and also, it's a really funny satire, too. It's like not just a super serious satire. Like, I really like... when the guy gets... There's a scene where this guy gets blown to pieces by the Ed 209. He just, like, gets blown over and over and over again to pieces. And then somebody says, call a medic.
Yeah. And for anybody who's actually seen the director's cut, it's a lot funnier. I mean, that dude is not alive.
No, he gets shot like 200 times.
Yeah. A fun fact about the director's cut. It was actually edited something like 96 times before it received an R rating. Before that, they just kept wanting to give it an NC-17 rating for the amount of violence. So, fun times.
The violence really is like fun and stylistic, though. I mean, you have a villain who goes around snorting cocaine.
It's also Red Foreman.
Yeah, it's also the dad from That 70s Show for anybody. Oh, and speaking of, friend of the show, Ray Wise, who we mentioned in the second episode, Ray Wise is also in it, playing a man named Leon Nash, who's famous for the line...
Don't touch me, man! From RoboCop 1.
Yeah, he's like, Dad,
Yeah, when he's covered in sewage. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I do like about the first RoboCop, too, is that it's also a critique of media consumption and just the overall oversaturation of consumer products.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, personally, I'm just a huge fan of, like, everything about it. I also can't take ER seriously. I mean, granted, I was never old enough to really watch that show, but I'm sure some of my listeners cared about ER.
What's the connection between ER and...
Okay, so I can't remember his name in ER, but there's this doctor who's terrified of helicopters because he gets his arm chopped off by one, and then he keeps having nightmares about helicopters crashing into him, and he finally gets crushed by a helicopter, and that's how they killed him off of ER. And that's the guy that plays Emil in RoboCop. Remember the guy with the motorcycle? And he's like, "You think you're smart? You think you can outrun a bullet?"
Oh, yeah.
Also, don't forget that RoboCop in the first one is supposed to be an allegory for Jesus. There is a scene where he literally walks on water.
And he comes back from the dead. And for anybody who's not familiar with the plot of RoboCop 1, basically there's this police officer named Alex Murphy in a very dystopian, futuristic version of Detroit. Takes place in the far off year of like 2020, and Detroit has no economy. It's riddled with crime, and don't stop me if, like, you know, I'm going way too out there, but it's completely an economic default, and there's gangs and crime running rampant, and Red Foreman from that 70s show leads a crime syndicate, and they shoot this guy played by Peter Weller to death. The evil company that's trying to take over Detroit decides that they're going to bring him back as a godless cyborg monster who enforces the law. And the truth is, he's the only cop in America that we see in any movie who isn't problematic.
A RoboCop?
Well, yeah, he has those four prime directives. And don't get me wrong, that fourth one sucks. Protect the OCP executives. But the first three, if he just had those, well, then we'd fix the problem with cops. I say we do that to every single cop in the country. We just cannibalize them and turn them into robots.
And those three directives, what are they again?
Let's see. Uphold the public trust, protect the innocent. No, serve the public trust, protect the innocent, and uphold the law.
Yeah, and that's in order, right?
Yeah. And again, I think if we could hardwire that into every single cop's brain, I think we'd have a better world.
I mean, more than likely, but I don't know if we need to go so far as to turning them into abominations.
Okay. How about a slight mental alteration?
I think it should just probably be more of like a 4-year degree program. I think that would fix a lot of the problems that we have with police if they had to actually like learn the laws.
Also, what's traditionally a police department should be split into like 10 different departments at least.
I can see that. What if we just like augmented their brain and their eyeballs and everything they saw was just Mayberry and they were convinced they were Andy Griffith and all they did all day is arrest Otis?
We could hypnotize everyone into... We could just hypnotize everyone into thinking they're Andy Griffith. It could be part of K-12 education.
Hypnosis? No, no. I'm talking graphic, horrifying, invasive, mind-altering surgery.
I'm not in favor of this.
Oh, wait. The kitty's doing that.
Oh, yeah. We have a cat that likes to climb inside our cabinets. He'd be a perfect candidate for this mind alteration. We're all in agreement, though, that out of all the cops in America, RoboCop's probably the least of a bastard.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's down there. I mean, the scene where he protects that woman. I mean, it could be seen as problematic in the sense that it's like white knighting thing. I don't know. There could be some weird problematic aspect of it, but it is still a fun scene.
Hey, I say if every cop is hardwired to not be racist and they all shoot attempted rapists in the dick, we're going to have a better country.
He also doesn't arrest a single person throughout the movie except for Red Foreman. He arrests him at one point, but every single other person he comes across, he just horribly maims.
Yeah, I was going to say, arresting Red Foreman didn't do anything. Remember, he had to stab him in the neck.
No, it didn't do anything, but that is the only person in the entire movie he actually arrests.
That is a good point.
He either just horribly maims or murders everybody else that he comes across.
How about you, Sophia? How do you feel along the line of RoboCop being a bastard?
Well, I really feel like we only see him for a little bit of time, really. So it's hard to really gauge it. I mean, his directives seem good, but also like, yeah, protect the public trust. Like that's like jury of peers. It's like one of those really vague things.
Yeah, but for a machine, it's literally the public. I mean, yeah, it sucks that he agrees with the majority, but that's better than most cops.
Oh, yeah, but it's just vague, you know, like, what is part of the public trust, and what does it mean to uphold it?
Well, in my opinion, I think it would mean that, like, you don't want to... He doesn't want to enforce the image of cops being corrupt.
Yeah. I also think that, like, he might stop that guy who played Uncle Fester from, like, hanging two dudes because they killed his friend. I mean, that happened. That little kid from The Kid, him and some other dude, like, they hung, like, some dudes. He got, like, a whole group of people together.
Oh, you mean that movie? It was Charlie Chaplin, right?
Yes.
From the 1910s, right?
Or yeah. 1920s. Jackie Coogan. He played Uncle Fester in the Addams Family TV show. Not Christopher Lloyd. I will never accuse Christopher Lloyd of lynching. He's wonderful. But Jackie Coogan. They, like, killed these guys. And to be fair, these guys did kill his friend. It had nothing to do with hanging people. I personally love the first RoboCop, the way it satirizes Reagan-era politics, the Amazon with its nuclear power plants that are melting down, and all the board games are about nuking your enemies and stuff, and everybody has nuclear bombs. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, the first RoboCop is a really good critique of the era that it was filmed in.
Also, it just has so many fun moments, the first RoboCop. Like, it just has a lot of fun action moments, and it's like a fun, it's definitely a, like a fun critique of that era by being like, you know, so hyper violent. It like highlights the paranoia, I believe, of that era. I don't know if y'all agree.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree that it highlights the paranoia there. I mean, it highlights technophobia. It highlights corporophobia, which, don't get me wrong, corporations are not your friend. If they could, they'd bring you back to life.
Oh, and yeah, absolutely. And also a drug phobia. The drug war was big at that time.
Oh, yeah, the drug war was big at the time. Speaking of drugs, let's speak about a ridiculous drug that Frank Miller called Nuke. Cutting to RoboCop 2. Do-do-do-do! All right, so now we're at RoboCop 2, which we haven't completely lost faith in the human race yet. We wouldn't do that tonight until we watched RoboCop 3. Sophia, I want you to just sum up your feelings about RoboCop 2.
All right, so... Okay, it was very strange. RoboCop was unlikable the whole movie. Like, everything was just, like, accentuated, but, like, really... Okay, also, RoboCop gets his brain liberalized, which turns him into a moron, which is... Okay, like, the first movie was, like, a fun satire. The second one, it's, like, it's only a satire in as much as, like... It's like a boomer cartoon level of satire subtlety.
It's like a bad Rush Limbaugh sketch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I haven't seen RoboCop 2 in quite a long time. From what I remember about it is RoboCop gets turned into a moron. There's the drug-dealing child. And doesn't the Ed 209 get addicted to drugs at some point?
It's not the Ed 209, it's RoboCop 2. So they get that guy that played Red Dragon in Manhunter, and he like leads some weird drug cult with the kid and some lady. And they turn him into a drug-addicted robot to fight RoboCop.
Okay, and yeah. I just remembered that there was a robot addicted to drugs in it.
He has a really bad CG face, and he sounds like a bulldog that has an itch on its back. We have two bulldogs, and he sounded just like our bulldog when he was trying to scratch his back on his bed.
Oh, yeah, we were giving them sideways glances the whole time.
Yeah, because he was going, ah. And of course, I mean, there was also none of the sexual overtones of the first one. The first one's satisfying when you think that everyone wants to fuck that robot.
It really does seem like everybody wants to fuck RoboCop in the first one.
I mean, he's like, he's definitely like the hero. And like, you know, I mean, he twirls his gun all cool. It makes sense.
It's more of just the looks that every character's giving him. They really just have this thirsty look to them.
They all do look very thirsty when they look at him.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it's not like one of those movies where it's like, why that person? It's like in RoboCop, it's like it makes sense. It's almost like a Western.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the second one, we have to see Frank Miller's face, which I'm going to tell you right now, if you try to feel sexual feelings and then you see Frank Miller's face, you won't feel sexual feelings for the rest of the movie.
He's pretty much anti-Viagra.
Yeah, he really is. He is libido repellent. Sophia, what are your feelings on how ugly Frank Miller is?
Frank Miller's so ugly that he's so ugly that he's actually not... He's not that ugly, but the fact that he is who he is makes him repellent.
But I mean, honestly, the second RoboCop did have its moments, though. I mean, I really loved those little kids in the Little League team that were just beating the shit out of the old man with the baseball bats. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what I also really liked about the movie was that the commercials were really fun too. And I agree that like that team of mercilessly evil, not evil, what do you call it? Like
violent.
Violent. There you go. Like those violent kids were very funny.
Oh, I also like the RoboCop test in the beginning when it's like, stop or I'll shoot. It shoots those two executives and then it shoots itself in the head and then its blue and red siren lights start going off.
In every way, an improvement over the original. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you RoboCop 2.
Stop or I'll shoot. Stop.
That was hilarious.
Oh yeah, I do remember that when they're trying to like develop new types of RoboCops.
And then the other one rips its head off and starts screaming.
Because it knows it's an abomination.
Yeah. That's what you do if you know you're an abomination.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the second one is that it at least had its moments. But, I mean, the spoiler alert, the third one is unwatchable.
I also like the fact that I know that Frank Miller was in a board meeting, and he said, 12-year-old drug lord! Everybody looked at him and kind of giggled and chuckled, and he was like, No, I'm completely serious. We're going to make a 12-year-old drug lord a thing.
Wait, was that a real story?
Well, you saw RoboCop 2. I guarantee that was a real story. Might as well have been. I just remember that the libs, those liberals, get a hold of RoboCop and they make him suck. And he's all like, bad words lead to bad feelings.
Bad language makes for bad feelings.
Okay, that was really funny because also it's like no idea where his original directives went or anything like that. And he seemed internally inconsistent. It seemed like really, like you said, like a bad routine from Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, it was like a bad Rush Limbaugh routine. And because there's really nothing else to say about RoboCop 2 other than it was the beginning of the RoboCop movies that made us sad. And now we get to RoboCop 3. Me and Sophia made sure to buy some liquor before we watched this movie because... it hates us, and it wanted us to know how much it hated us as we watched it.
I at multiple points throughout the movie, I started screaming at the TV saying, oh my God.
Oh yeah. We were 15 minutes in before we saw RoboCop, and we were yelling, we don't care about the little girl and the guy from the rejected Full House pilot. Why should we care about them?
Oh yeah, there's nobody likable. I mean, like, the story's just got more and more diluted. Oh, also, there's, like, no, like, fun violence at all. I mean, there's slapstick violence. There's somebody, like, running somebody over with a motorcycle, like Three Stooges style.
Yeah, that was those guys that were ramping off of RoboCop's balls.
Oh yeah, was that two or three?
I don't know. I think that was two.
God, okay, yeah, nothing's good about three.
Yeah, there is no point in that entire movie that is even worth watching. Everything about it was horrible. It was boring. There was no horrifying, ultra-violent deaths in it. The characters weren't really interesting. There was nothing good about that movie. It was all pointless and terrible.
I did like cheering on the best resistance ever, though. I mean, the resistance, if you don't remember, was made up of CCH Pounder, that guy that played George's boss in Seinfeld. You know, he was the guy with the hook from Malcolm in the Middle. And Steven Root, which he turned out to be a traitor. And, you know, you can never trust Milton.
Again, and, you know, this is the second time this movie's going to get brought up. But I feel like the resistance in Johnny Mnemonic was better.
They were. They listened to a dolphin named Jones, who was built by the Marines.
Yes, but I disagree with calling them the best resistance ever.
No, the best resistance ever was the resistance from the Venture Brothers. Remember? The ones that just, like, put cat whiskers in Baron Underbite's water?
Yeah, that was probably the best resistance ever.
Also, RoboCop kept getting lumpier.
He did keep getting lumpier.
Like, movie one, he wasn't that lumpy. Number two, it looked like he'd been left out in the sun. And, like, number three, he looked like Hot Squidward from SpongeBob.
Well, that, I think, a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's not Peter Weller in RoboCop 3. It is some other guy.
Oh, and also, apparently they put the Peter Weller suit from RoboCop 2 on him. So it cut the circulation off. It dug into his face. It didn't fit him properly, so they had to take it off like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, he was just horribly uncomfortable, and I feel bad for him for having to go through that.
It was kind of prophetic, because it's kind of what audiences would feel watching it.
Even more prophetic is the video game came out a year before the movie, and it wound up giving the entire plot away before the movie even came out.
God, I don't. Yeah, the plot was like not even there, pretty much. I couldn't tell you the plot right now, honestly.
OCP is trying to kick poor people out of their houses so they can bulldoze their community and build their mega city.
And the guy that plays Akusin's that cyborg. That's like a Japanese ninja guy.
Oh, okay. So that was the whole story. It feels like it was one of those stories that feels like it should be a side story or like a side goal. You know, like bulldoze the city, and then, you know, then we that's step one.
Are you saying that this was an hour and 45-minute pilot for Frank Miller's terrible RoboCop TV series? I don't believe it.
Oh God, how bad is the TV series if that's the pilot?
Imagine an entire TV series that's just RoboCop 3.
I don't want to. It hurts.
I mean, as long as
it happened.
I mean, RoboCop. RoboCop. He was kind of a, like, you know, honorable. Second movie, he's like, you know, like John Wayne. Third movie, he's like Clint Eastwood. Fourth movie, this. What he did? I feel like he should keep getting worse and worse. Like,
I'd say the second one, he's a little bit more like Clint Eastwood, and the third one, he's a little more like John Wayne. Because you have to remember, Clint Eastwood's movies, even though he's a problematic person and everything, they tended to make sense. They tended to be coherent.
Yeah, the Man with No Name trilogy is pretty great, in all honesty.
I've seen a ton of incoherent John Wayne movies.
I'm just still reeling from those movies. Like, I'm just like, that happened. Like, just kind of like going through it in my head, because it's such a shock going from movie one to movie two. It's like going through like a museum and you see like all these cool paintings, and then you walk into the next room, and then you see all these like terrible paintings that you notice closer are actually posters.
I mean, that's the thing. At least, like, you know, RoboCop 1 is pretty awesome from beginning to end. RoboCop 2 has a couple of moments at the very least that you're like, yeah, that was cool. I like that. RoboCop 3 was just painful.
I like the second and third one, because it's like going down this tunnel into a deep forest, and you get so lost that you can't find your way out, and you're surrounded by brambles full of thorns. And you realize that whatever you were following into the woods hates you, and it wanted you to die.
I mean, yes, I do feel that way after watching RoboCop 3.
RoboCop 3, like an existential terror that chases you through the nightmares of a thorny landscape.
Yeah, I've had dreams where I woke up screaming that were more fascinating than RoboCop 3.
I think that any discussion about RoboCop 3 is more fascinating than RoboCop 3.
Yes. No, this conversation is far more entertaining than anything that happened in that movie.
We were mostly talking about how funny it is that Rip Torn got his ear bitten off by Norman Mailer.
Oh, yeah. Rip Torn's in it. And for some reason, he's the head of OCP now, except he's not because Mako is his boss.
It's just really interesting how much worse it gets each time. Like it really is like watching something fall apart.
So, yeah, like the first movie is, you know, that first third of a bottle of whiskey where you're starting to get really entertaining and you have some interesting ideas and, you know, you're kind of violent, kind of funny. The second movie is where you get past that halfway point where you're starting to make less and less sense. But, you know, you still have a couple good words of wisdom. And then the third movie is you finish off that bottle and you are an incoherent mess.
You're hunched over. You feel like you're going to throw up. Everybody thinks you're going to throw up. And you probably do.
I mean, there's multiple reasons why you could throw up watching RoboCop 3. But if you're drinking heavily while doing it, it doesn't help.
How are you supposed to watch RoboCop 3 without drinking heavily?
You're not.
Although you weren't really drinking that heavily.
I felt like throwing up. That's heavily enough.
I also, we did have Domino's.
No, I had Domino's earlier. Whiskey isn't Domino's.
I just started thinking about Domino's flavored whiskey, and that is...
Oh, my God.
Would be the worst thing ever.
Oh, God.
That sounds like...
It sounds like throw up in a bottle.
It sounds like if you drink it, you'd have heartburn because it would just cause the heartburn on the way down.
Yeah, like, I thought that people that drank Fireball were, like, absolute human garbage. And now I'm just like, oh.
It can always get worse.
It can always get worse. Domino's whiskey.
And I mean, if Domino's decides to make a whiskey, for the love of God, please don't.
I think that Domino's whiskey should have the Ninja Turtles on it. And it should come with a dead turtle or a dead rat in every bottle.
And I mean, that sums up RoboCop 3, I think.
What, a dead turtle in every bottle?
Yep.
A dead turtle or a dead rat.
Is that, that sounds like that's just like messed up Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We're going to have like a RoboCop in every house and a dead turtle in every bottle.
Well, you know, they'll be dressed up like Ninja Turtles.
I'm just imagining this. Like, it's just getting worse and worse the more I imagine.
If you collect all four, you can make the best turtle soup ever.
It doesn't sound like it'd be good. They're turtles in bottles. It sounds like they'd be like alcohol preserved turtles, like jellied alcohol, like inedible turtles.
I was going to say, you sound like something that Charles Darwin would have prepared.
Okay, I remember we were talking about monkeys in a barrel. It sounds like this is how you'd prepare that.
Yes. For anybody that doesn't know, I want to create a game show called You Will Throw Up. And the whole goal is we make contestants eat organic matter that's found on shipping freights.
Yeah, and you're saying that you challenge one is a barrel of monkeys, where it's literally a barrel of monkeys that's been jellified. And I don't know what diseases you can carry in monkey. I feel like jellied monkey would have some interesting properties. I don't know how that would ferment. I feel like it would have to in that hot sign. Monkey cheese. I don't know what that would even become.
You know what? I would rather watch this show than watch RoboCop 3 again.
See, I have one person on board already.
Also, this is necessarily where the discussion about RoboCop 2 and 3 has to go. I mean, honestly, like we were like 15 minutes through, and I remember I just looked up, and I was like, almost felt defeated. I was like, we're only 15 minutes through and there's already been this much like bullshit and I have no idea how to wade through that more.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I think I would rather watch somebody eat like rancid donkey out of a duffel bag than watch that movie again.
Now, if anybody is wondering what this has to do with RoboCop 3, it's absolutely nothing except for the fact that this is where that movie took us to.
Yeah, it took us to wanting to eat like way expired animal carcasses.
I feel like expired means that it was good to eat at some point.
Sophia's saying, wrap it up, because we can't just talk about eating monkeys all night. And I have to agree with her, so...
I mean, if this was going to be about the first RoboCop only, I think we could have kept going. But since we're talking about the end point of RoboCop 3 and... That movie was just awful. Everything about it was terrible.
Jacob, you forgot the most important part. Mako bowed to RoboCop.
I was going to say, it was really interesting seeing the directors turn from left to right, because RoboCop was like completely changed who he was. It's one of those things. It's like, I don't think Frank Miller understood why RoboCop was cool. He just thought it was like, oh, cop who's a robot.
Also, he denies he had anything to do with it. And me and Jacob were watching, and we read Dark Knight Returns. There are two guys in the third movie that are Rob and Dan from Dark Knight Returns. His fingerprints are all over that damn movie.
And didn't he write the two movies?
He did, but he says he didn't. But he did. Point is, I would rather eat jellied monkeys out of a barrel.
Well, and again, you know, the first RoboCop was directed by Paul Verhoeven, who, when it comes to ultra-violent cinema, the man really does know what he's doing.
And written by Edward Neumayer, which, I don't care what anybody says, I like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, Starship Troopers is good. I mean, like, I can see why a lot of people don't like it, because maybe they think it's ham-fisted or something, but whatever. I really like the Nazis, as part of their Blitzkrieg, took methamphetamine, and not even little bits of methamphetamine, like chocolates with 15 milligrams per piece. It had all these extreme things, like yelling pledges in schools. You can't really get extreme with fascists. Fascists are extreme.
Well, so you're saying they're fascists in the movie, though?
Yeah, they're fascists.
Okay, yeah, you never brought that point up. You just started talking about fascism.
Oh, yeah, Nazis. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the thing about Starship Troopers is, again, it's a critique of fascism, too.
Exactly.
Like, the movie does have a purpose and a point to it.
Also, the guy that wrote it was a crazy fascist who absolutely hated the Chinese, and that's where his idea for the bugs came from. And he also inspired a lot of aspects of the hippie movement. So
and the free love movement. Like, which started from the fighter pilots, right?
Oh, yeah. It started from fire pilots who were going to die, like, right away in the Korean War. So they started, like, wife swapping and stuff, because it was like, who cares? We're going to die anyway. Well, so to wrap it up, RoboCop 1 is a great movie. I recommend everybody watch it. If you hate yourself, watch 2 and 3. The guy from Manhunter plays a drug-addicted robot, and that's a lot of fun. And the third one, okay, you can hit yourself in the head really hard and just pretend you watched the third one, and you'll get about the same experience.
Less brain damage.
So that was it. We just wanted to make an episode where we all just talked bad about RoboCop and talked good about RoboCop. And anybody who hasn't played Mortal Kombat 11 yet, I would definitely recommend it. RoboCop's in there. He's voiced by Peter Weller, and it's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, and I hope you all have a great rest of your evening.